This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, your favorite podcaster. Today, we're doing a special recording. Normally, I talk about AI and languages and technology and the impact of society and the impact on how we communicate with each other locally and globally, for that matter. But today, we're switching topics a little bit on you. Today, we're going to be talking about a very municipal impacting sort of topic. And for that, I have my guest of honor with me, her third appearance on the channel. Welcome back, Councillor Deepika De Merla. I really appreciate your time with me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Robin. And you know, it's amazing that you focus so much on communication. And one thing that politicians need to do better is communicate. So thank you for the opportunity.
Anytime. Councillor, there was a discussion or the topic of discussion that I would like to address with you because of the news or because what we're seeing out there is that whole issue or case, maybe it's not an issue, maybe just a case, I guess, in this case, scooters in the city of Mississauga. You represent Ward 7. Mississauga is a large city in the country. In Canada, it's the second largest city in the country. Topics like this are impacting many people, I guess, in the city and could be an example for the rest of the cities in the country too. So whatever a large city normally does, other cities tend to copy. Can you give us a little bit of a brief on the situation with the scooter licensing, et cetera?
So, you know, e-scooters and e-bikes are legal in Ontario, and we have them in Mississauga, and that's amazing. I think that they are a great tool, and I'll tell you why, Robin. If you live in Mississauga, we've built our city around the car, and for those who can afford a car, that's great. But there's lots of people who can't afford a car. And our public transit, frankly, we're not New York City. We don't have a subway. We're not even Toronto, right? Right now, we only have buses. We have no higher order level of transit. So for a lot of young people who don't want a car or cannot afford a car and who don't have the time to wait around for public transit, these e-scooters and e-bikes are really filling that gap. They let people get around cheaply, affordably, and it's also great for the environment, right? So we have all of these kids who would otherwise may have been in cars. So I really, really support them. But the problem with them is they are motorized. They all have a motor. But we don't treat them as motorized vehicles. Like if you have a car, it's a motorized vehicle. You have a moped, it's a motorized vehicle. You have a motorcycle. And we license them. And we require registration for a reason. They're motorized, they're on the roads, and they can hurt people. And so what I said was that I would like the province of Ontario, because, you know, you can't have cities licensing. It's a provincial jurisdiction. Just as the city of Mississauga doesn't issue licenses for cars, it's the province of Ontario. So my motion yesterday at City Hall was ask the province of Ontario to start licensing and registering people who use e-bikes and e-scooters. And here's the thing, Robin, it might sound like an idea that's a little out there, but it's not, because when you go to Europe, they do that. They're already doing this. They're already requiring licensing. They're already requiring registration. And closer home, state of New Jersey, beginning January 2026, every e-scooter, every e-bike, you need a license, you need registration. So we are playing catch up. This is about safety.
So that's exactly what I was going to go with for my next question. I get the benefit of a scooter, but from a city perspective, what problem are we trying to solve by licensing them?
The problem we're trying to solve by licensing them is that the number of accidents involving e-scooters
We've seen a rise, Councillor?
Yeah. Just for e-scooters, over a three-year period, we had 738 injuries related to e-scooters.
Wow.
Yes. And over a three-year period, it's increased by 112%. And here's the thing. It's got a motor. And you know what we say? We say you cannot ride on the sidewalk. You have to be on the road. So you're putting something with a motor on the road. Do you not think that the person who's riding it should have a basic passing of the test of green light, red light, yellow light? I know we take it for granted, you know, but they need to understand the basic road rules and safety. And that's where licensing and registration comes. The second part is, how do you charge somebody? Like if there's no registration, there's no licensing, you know, people keep saying, oh, the police are not charging them, this, that, and the other. Yeah, but we need a framework. But it really is about safety, because if you require them to, one of the things is, you know, I've seen 12-year-olds on an e-scooter. They're not supposed to be. A license, requiring a license, would mean that, you know, they couldn't do it. So right now it's the Wild West. That's all.
And so are you suggesting some sort of a test that they have to go through before they get their license? Like, are you suggesting a process, basically, how to obtain a license?
Yeah, so I don't want to get too prescriptive because obviously, but I can tell you what New Jersey is doing as an example. So in New Jersey, if you want to ride an e-scooter, for example, if you have a driver's license, like a regular driver's license, A-OK. Now, if you don't happen to have a driver's license, then they ask you to go get a special license for a motorized vehicle like an e-scooter, right? So it's either or, but that's New Jersey's model. I am told that in Ontario, there was a time, I have not verified this, when before you could ride a bicycle, you went to the police station and you kind of did a little, you know, you demonstrated to whoever was the instructor there that, I don't know, do you remember this, Ayub? I don't know.
If I remember that. Bicycles with a little license plate on them, yeah?
Yeah, so it's not such a far-fetched idea, right? But it's really about safety. It's about making sure that before somebody gets on the road, they know the rules of the road. They know how to drive defensively. They know how to protect themselves. And they know how not to hurt somebody else.
You know, I live on 10th Line area, and it's pretty straight street, and there's no curves to it. And sometimes in the summer, in the spring, I see these scooters going faster than a car, counselor. You know, the speed limit on the street is 50, and definitely they're going more than 50. And I don't know what the rules of the road is. Do they get stopped for speeding in some cases? Do they?
Well, the interesting thing, Robin, is that in Ontario, their speeds are supposed to be capped. And that's where registration comes in. Like, if you have to register your e-scooter or e-bike, you can buy something online. Like, for instance, in Ontario, an e-bike is defined as something with a wattage of less than 500, right? But because we don't require registration, there's no way for us to know if somebody buys an e-bike with a wattage of 700, for example, and is driving without a license, as an example, right? So e-scooters are supposed to have a cap speed of X or Y. I think it's around 23 kilometers an hour. But there's no registration. How do you know what the top speed of an e-scooter is on the road, right? So that's where registration comes in, to make sure that, you know, people are buying and using e-scooters and e-bikes correctly.
So before we go into the registration, should we not talk about the regulation? It sounds like it's not regulated.
It's the Wild West. There's no regulatory framework. The only thing the province has done is they've said that for it to be defined as an e-bike, it has to be less than 500 watts. Because if it's more than 500 watts, it automatically becomes a moped. And then all of the road rules apply, registration, licensing. So if it's over 550, but under 550, it's like the Wild West.
And from you mentioned it earlier, like around the some of the benefits of doing so. Do you think this will encourage more people to buy e-bikes or scooters in this case, or does it detract people from going to the length of registration, etc.?
So here's the thing, you have to keep it simple. No one is saying that it has to be an arduous process. So, you know, our cars are registered very easily, like it's not a big hassle. You can make it really simple, you can make the registration. And I don't want to go into that rabbit hole, Robin, because it needs a lot of study. But I think there is a way to regulate and license.
I get your point.
Yeah, that's in a...
Your objective is to keep it simple, basically.
Keep it simple. No one is saying it has to be very...
No, because one of the items that you talked about, which was on my list of discussion item, is that the first mile and the last mile transit gaps.
Yes.
And a lot of people, you know, use a variety of ways to get to that bus station or train station or whatever they're picking up in terms of public transportation. And they use these methods of transportation to get there. Encouraging people and making it simple and making it easier, safer, as you mentioned earlier, maybe it solves that first mile, last mile gap kind of things.
Absolutely, Robin. You're right on the money about the issue around the last mile. I'll give you an example. It was just 2 weeks ago. I was on here, Ontario, very close to the Cooksville Gold Station. It was around 7 p.m. I'm in my car. In the next lane over, traffic's really slow. I see this guy jump out, a young guy jump out. I'm like, okay, his father's dropping him off by the Cooksville Gold. And then I see the trunk pop and he pulls something out and I can't see what it is because it's dark. And the next thing I know, this guy is on an e-scooter going down here in Ontario, well ahead of his dad or whoever was dropping him off. So essentially that e-scooter, apparently they're foldable. I didn't know that. You get these foldable e-scooters in the trunk of your car, pop it out on your way. Like that's the that's the power. And you know, every time there's new technology, there's people who want to ban it. So there are people, if you go back, and you should Google this, you will have a chuckle, Robin, is there are articles in the 1900s of people saying you have to ban the bicycle because there's so many.
Prefer the horse.
Yeah. And then there are people saying you have to ban the car when the car became.
True.
Obviously.
There's detractors to everything for sure. Yeah.
And legitimately so, right? Because the cars were obviously more dangerous than the horse and buggy. But you find ways around it and you find ways to, minimize the disadvantages and capitalize on the advantages.
No, I do find the regulation is important, specifically in this case. You know, there haven't been a long time around these scooters, right? So these scooters have been around like for a few years. It's not like we've been dealing with them for decades. For the last few years, we started seeing them more and more prevalent. And there's more shared services now for scooters, right? You've got the Ubers and you've got a couple of other companies offering the same thing. I think there's one of them called Lime or Lemon. Yeah. There's a lot of those. And you know, I saw the most strange thing. When was that? Last year, I think I saw. It was here in the neighborhood. There was a lady on a scooter with two young kids, one in the front of the scooter, one in the back of the scooter. Now, people are, you know, have regulation of how to put the kids in the car. You know, you have to have a booster seat. You got to strap them in. They can't be in the front seat. They have to be in the back seat. And here you've got an entire family almost with no helmets. You know, one baby is holding the steering wheel and the other baby holding the mother on the back. Like, I don't know, man. It's just an accident waiting to happen.
Exactly. And that's why you need the regulation and you need the... Or, you know, some hybrid, like something. I'm not being prescriptive. I'm just asking the province to explore this idea. So we'll see.
What about the revenue impact, Councillor? Have you guys thought around that?
Well, I don't think there'll be much of a revenue impact, Robin, because in New Jersey, for example, they charge $8 a year for licensing and registration, which is like nothing. But in Ontario, you know that it's free for cars. So I don't think we're going to start charging.
Oh, okay.
It wouldn't be fair, so it would be free. So there would be no cost to the end user.
But we just have to, you know, I mean, the other benefit with that, I'm assuming, is traceability. Like if some of these things get stolen, you know who the owner is.
Yeah, exactly. And how do you enforce something if you don't have a framework, right? Like it just begins with that. And licensing is really about education, making sure that this person to be on the roads.
Council, have you dug into the data around what are we seeing in other municipalities of Ontario? What's the data showing?
So in Ontario, it's the Wild West, but I can share with you that New Jersey I talked about. So in New Jersey,
it's the example, right?
Beginning of January 2026, they have a law that says e-scooter, e-bike, gotta be licensed, you need registration. In fact, they even require insurance, and I'm not even going there yet. Then there is Japan, there's Netherlands, France, Italy, there is Germany. I mean, all of these countries require some require registration and licensing, some require only registration, some require only licensing, and some make a distinction. They say if the e-scooter wattage is less than 250, nothing's required. If it's between 250 and 500, you require something. E-scooters, so you know, everybody, all I'm saying is, but they all have something. Like we nothing. We
No, is there data around ER visits, pedestrian incidents, insurance claims? Is there like any data on that here in Ontario or no? We're still relying on US data.
Yeah, we don't, at least I'm not aware. But all I know is that in Mississauga, over a 3-year period, we had 738 e-scooter related injuries. We don't have statistics for e-bikes, so we know this is for e-scooter.
Okay.
That's pretty.
And who's liable like in these types of things, do you think, in a collision now currently? Is it the rider, the operator, or the city? Like, let's say 700 and some incidents happen. Generally speaking, we don't want to look into each specific incident because each one of them is a different case. In general, who's liable for the incidents?
I have no idea. That's a really good question, Robin. I'm going to assume that, you know, whoever crashed into whoever, and there's somebody at fault and somebody who isn't at fault. But as you know, there's no insurance. There's nothing here. So I guess, yeah.
So basically what I'm hearing you saying is you want to start the conversation around A, regulating, B, registering of some sort to put this thing into a more of a formal process versus, as you said it earlier, the Wild West sort of a process right now currently, right?
Yeah, and make it simple, keep it simple, keep it easy to do.
Yep. And so things like, from a safety perspective, I'm assuming that will be addressed during your proposal. Will there be mandatory helmets, for instance? That would be questions out there, right? So, you know, you require some sort of a safety for these things.
So I will say that the province of Ontario does have helmet rules, but they are so confusing. Even I cannot keep them straight. I think for e-scooters, you require the helmet. For e-bikes, I think if you are, I cannot remember. One of the, even I cannot remember. Like, they're so confusing. There's so many categories, but I think e-bikes are treated more like bicycles. So. And I would have to check and tell you, but there are some categories where it is mandatory. I always say, keep it simple, use a helmet, regardless of what category it is.
And so the other items would be speed caps. I'm assuming that would be also discussed during a licensing process or a regulation process.
Absolutely. Well, the province of Ontario already requires speed caps, but there's no way to know. There's no way to enforce, but there's no registrations. You could buy online an e-bike or an e-scooter online that has speed limits that can go faster than what the province of Ontario allows for. Again, it comes back to the need for registration.
No, I'm assuming also, like, you guys going to accommodate for, I mean, we're dealing with e-scooters right now. It's just new to the market. The new, the forthcoming, I would say, innovation in that domain contain things like geofencing, for instance, near schools. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're familiar with geofencing. Yes. High traffic pedestrian zones, you know, for instance, near parking enforcements, void sidewalk clutters, you know, but in a technology, as a technology advances, regulation has to advance with it.
Exactly.
And the ability to accommodate for these things, like, let's say, you know, the city would say, near the schools, it's a forbidden zone and we don't want you to go there. I'm assuming, I don't know. But let's say you decide in area A, not school, whatever that area A is, you should be able to, with using the technology, to just designate that area and the scooter will stop from going there. Sort of like when you push your cart outside, you know, grocery cart outside the parking lot, it stops automatically. So same idea.
Yeah. Robin, that's already being done by the, if it's the rental company. So, you know, the limes and the birds.
Oh, okay. So they do have that.
Using geofencing to make sure that you can't go down the sidewalk and stuff. But they're one part.
But you see them on the sidewalk, like, I mean, parked on the sidewalk, like 10, 15 of them, like, they can't, people can't walk on the sidewalk sometimes.
I know. So that's a different issue that I'm definitely working on. And it has gotten better because you have designated parking. And if you find something that's not in a designated parking and you call the city will call Lime and it's gone. They're pretty good about it. They've also, what they do is if somebody, say, leaves their e-bike where they shouldn't be, they actually get dinged. They get dinged by the service provider. But this is all when you are renting, because you can obviously...
So the rental company handles that infraction.
But a lot of people just own their own. And how do you, I don't know, how do you geofence entire sidewalks in a manner that no private e-scooter, you know, you'd have to program them.
Yeah.
And if you had to register them, perhaps there is a way to program that. I don't know. Again, I don't want to go into the weeds. I'm just saying we are the Wild West. Everybody else moved. Let's see what we can do through this to make them safer.
So a lot of our listeners right now are thinking, like, about the conversation that you and I had a few months ago, and we talked about this specific topic very well, is the bike lanes in Mississauga, for instance, right? So we talked about the bike lanes. The bike lanes are there. They're not being used as much. What happened to the bike lanes in this whole discussion? Do they get overwhelmed with e-scooters, or the e-scooters now will populate the bike lane, or the bike lane doesn't apply in this case?
Apply to them. E-scooters can be part of the regular traffic. So therein, again, another reason to license and register, because they will drive where cars are driving. Now, there are some limitations because we don't allow e-bikes, for example, on roads where the speed limit is more than, I think, 50 kilometers an hour, as an example. So they can't go on the highway, or they can't go, you know, but 50 kilometers, I think it's 50 kilometers or maybe 40 kilometers, but that's a lot of roads, right? But they can be legitimately, they're allowed to be on the road between two cars, as an example, right? So you gotta license them and register.
Councillor, does the city do education? I find, to be honest with you, that coexistence on the roadways between two wheels versus four wheels, meaning the bicycle, the scooters, and the rest of the traffic for, car traffic or automobile traffic, is lacking, to be honest with you. Like, the drivers sometimes unaware or don't see the bicycles or don't see the scooters, and it causes a lot of injuries, a lot of accidents. Would there be, in your thinking down the road, and again, I don't want to get into the weeds of it, but would there be like an educational program or publication, a communication program, share the road? I mean, I know I see like those signs, share the road somewhere. I'm not sure if anybody pays attention to that.
Yeah, I think there's a big role for education, but I think, and I'm not an expert in this, but again, if there were to be some kind of a licensing process, there could be a very quick test, right, on that issue of how do you share the road. And, I took my driver's license test many, many years ago, but even if you're driving a car, I think in the updated syllabus, when you take that test, hopefully there's an entire section on sharing the road.
I hope so.
And education is great. Education with Sam at the end of it is even better, right?
That's right. You know, I got to tell you anecdotally, my wife and I, a few years ago, we were in, in Barcelona, I think we were. Yeah, Barcelona, Spain. Her and I were walking down for dinner one night and walking on this busy street that's full of cafes on the side of the road. And I couldn't help by noticing a pattern. The pattern was that at least one or two individuals sitting, having coffee or having their dinner in these cafes have a cast on their legs.
Oh my God. Oh.
And I'm thinking, like, I just noticed, I couldn't escape it. Like, it's not one or two, like, maybe one per cafe. And there's hundreds of these cafes all along the way, walked a while. And so I said to my wife, I said, I can't believe, what is happening in this town? Then you look around and the predominant traffic is motorcycles, scooters, bicycles. The cars are less density than the automobile, the two wheels. The four wheels are less density than the two wheels. And that's what caused most of these accidents. It's automobiles hitting, you know, motorcycles and bicycles.
Yeah, that's, wow. Wow. That's
good. I'll never forget this image in my head, just like a movie.
Wow. Ooh, and this is Barcelona. I mean, this is Europe. Interesting.
Yep. So is there a pilot program? Are you thinking about a pilot program for this, or are you just convincing the government of Ontario to go full blown on this one?
Well, what I would say to the Ontario government is all of these jurisdictions are already doing it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. What we have to do is we have to study what they're doing, study outcomes, and at the end of that, we come up with our own system, but we don't need to reinvent the wheel.
And have we done any cost analysis? How much it would cost to run a program like this? Because they're not charging for the licenses, so I'm assuming it's going to be free for the individuals.
Yes, it will be free for the individuals. But, you know, you kind of have to balance it against safety, right? And to make them viable. Like today, it's still a new novelty product, but I think it has the ability to really allow people to move around affordably. I want it to be affordably and safe, right? So that's the next word.
So when a municipality take on a program, councillor, does the municipality absorb or be exposed to any financial or legal risks in the process? Right now you don't, because it's not part of any program.
So if there was any licensing and regulation to happen, it would be done by the province of Ontario. It would be done across the province, and it would be the province that would administer it and pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the implications we talked about in terms of budget increase that we talked about in the last episode you and I have recorded together is the policing increase in cost of policing is going up. You mentioned at the time, I think it was like $175 million increase for the budget of 2025-2026. And does this, the enforcement part of this, does that increase the policing budget or does it have any impact on it?
So technically the police should be enforcing right now. Like, for instance, I think under the age of 15 or 16, I don't remember the exact age, you're not allowed to ride an e-scooter, right? So technically you should, your e-scooter shouldn't be more than, it has to have a maximum top speed of 24 or 25 kilometers an hour. So if your e-scooter is somehow going at 30, so these are all things that should be enforced right now. So bringing in licensing or registration wouldn't change the fact that the police need to enforce. It would make it easier. But how do you charge someone who has no license, with no registration?
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can't charge them anything, right?
You got to charge them, yeah.
You got to be able to know where to send them the bill to. And now you got your address in the system. So let's talk a little bit.
It's not about being punitive. It's about, yes, safety, you know.
No, I was just kidding about sending the bill. But mostly when you don't know who you're dealing with, you can't identify the individual.
Yeah.
You don't have any case against them.
That's right.
Obviously, you can stop them and ask them as a police. You can stop them and ask them your identity. But in any case, let's talk environmental impact for a second, because it's important on everybody's mind. And that's why they're buying e-scooters. And I don't know what's, is there statistics on how many people have e-scooters or e-bikes?
And there's no registration. So
no registration. You know, we can go by any number. And, you know, from the 750 visit to the ERs, I'm going to guess it's more than 750.
I think so, unless the same people are crashing over and over again.
I hope they're healthy. I hope they're safe. I hope nobody's gotten hurt permanently or injured permanently on this stuff.
So. But it's so funny, you know, I was on John Moore's show, 1010, to talk about this proposal. And that morning I was speaking to him at 8:35. And that morning when he was coming into work, he was hit by an e-scooter. So, you know, and this is in the winter, actually, at least in Mississippi. And here's the thing, in Toronto, e-scooters are banned, but they're still operating. Yeah, like you can ban things, you can regulate them. You cannot, you know, banning is, anyway, it's all about enforcement. If you can't enforce the basic rules, how are you going to enforce a big ban? But anyway, that hit. And I know that in Mississauga, I don't know what the rules are, but I thought, at least for the pilot program, it only runs in the summer. And once the snow comes, it doesn't. You and I, we've all seen, at least I see right by my house, I've seen a number of times. On a snowy evening, people are going on their e-scooters. God bless them. It's cold, it's chilly, and you're, but you know what?
In the winter, it's crazy. I don't know how they do it. I'm in my car, the heat is blasting, and I'm still cold.
I know. Yes, yes. But you know what? But there's also something called intergenerational fairness, Robin. So I know that many of us might, we can afford cars, we can afford Ubering. And
some people can't.
But a lot of the young, it cannot. And for them, this is a real option. So the question is, how can I make this safe for everyone?
Absolutely.
And be intergenerationally fair.
Let's speak environment for a second. Let's talk a little bit about environmental impact. Have you done any analysis, or do you have any information, not just analysis, it's just any information that you can share with us on sort of what is the life cycle for carbon cost in this one?
I don't know that.
And I don't know, like I've never owned one of them, but do they replace their batteries? How often? Like, I mean, battery must need replacement at some point.
I suppose, yes. And the battery is another issue that's very important, but I think it's getting better. But yeah, I don't know what their lifespan is, but they're relatively inexpensive. And they get people around.
And I'm assuming the city has a battery disposal program when these things need to be replaced.
Again, these are all provincial.
Is it a provincial thing?
The entire recycling is provincial, right? So,
okay.
I'll talk about recycling changes if that's something that interests you and your listeners. But as you know, the recycling has changed in Ontario.
Well, the biggest thing for us is to minimize our carbon footprint for everybody. And I'm assuming e-bikes will contribute positively to that. But the flip side of the tail end of that is like, okay, so I got a battery, I got to get rid of it, I got to get a new battery after the life cycle span of the battery is finished. So you need to dispose of it responsibly for, if we care about the environment, I guess. Now, the other part of it is, let's talk a little bit about access. Will this benefit anybody other than the core areas of our cities, meaning the outlaying areas? So let's say you got somebody on the edge of Mississauga versus somebody on the downtowns of Mississauga, being on here, Ontario, next to the city center. But being on the edge, does it matter where, or does it?
No, because e-bike.
Because you probably see less usage in the edge versus the center.
Yeah, but you can use them all across the city of Mississauga. But you're right. I mean, I think it would be something that's used more in the downtown core areas, whether it's downtown Mississauga, it's Cooksville, maybe it's Streetsville. Although I see them all over Ward 7. I've seen one on my street, like on the street that I live on, like a residential street. I've just seen one of these rental ones just lying on the sidewalk. I have seen that. So obviously people are using it. As long as it's used responsibly, there's a real gap that we have here that allows people to move around affordably. It's that last mile because, okay, you take transit. Even if you take transit, how do you get from the Cooksville GO station to your home? How do you, you know, and it really starts to solve that.
You know, I just remembered something, and I'm not a big proponent of, you know, adding more municipal government programs, et cetera, but just came up to my head while we were talking about this. You know, that first mile, last mile gap. You know, I was wondering why wouldn't be an idea to think about, maybe not, you know, propose to a city council, but to think about out loud as a community. For instance, My Way and the GO Transit invest in items such as e-scooters and put them in the stations where they are, and people can take them to a closer location to their home and then bring them to the next day when they're going back to. And that would be part of the fare and part of the GO Transit and My Way transportation system. For those who are, you know, I'm just thinking about from an equity access, right? So for those who cannot afford and they're taking 3-4 different buses to get to where they're going, maybe an option.
Maybe, but I would much rather that the private sector fill that gap.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Like you already have Bird, you already have Line. Rather than have the property taxpayer foot that, that would be what I would do. But I think what government can do is allow them access. So, you know, so that those e-bikes and e-scooters can be parked legally at the Cooksville GO station as an example. So you come there, and then you, like you said, you come home with it, and then the next morning you go back. And if you're really using it regularly, maybe people want to buy their own.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that they're foldable is great. The fact that you can just park them, maybe. Yeah.
There are options. Would we offer infrastructure like charging stations and any of that stuff or no?
I've never seen. I think these charges last quite some time. Like I've never seen.
And they probably do it at home anyway. So.
Yeah. That's what they're charged.
And what about parking? You mentioned parking earlier. Would we, under the proposed regulation, council, would be able to monitor improper parkings and
so
enforce it?
We already do that. But again,
we do that already?
For the rental program.
Okay.
So if Bird or Lime, we have told them that only in these designated spots can your customers return the vehicle, right? So say you're at square one and you go to, from square one, you're going to say the Cooksville GO station, just as an example. So you have the bike at square one, you drive to Cooksville GO. You can't just leave it anywhere around Cooksville GO. It has to be a designated spot that they put there. Vehicle or e-scooter, e-bike. And if they don't, then the responsibility of the rental company to first of all move it, and then they also fine the user. And I think if the same user kind of 3 times breaks the rules, they're kind of locked out, like they can't.
Yeah. You know, I do agree with your statement, Councillor. It's a wild, wild west out there. And just having this conversation with you, I'm educating myself at the same time. I'm not an e-scooter fan. I don't have one. But having the conversation, I think I'm personally getting educated through this conversation. And I'm sure the listeners are getting a little bit more educated on what's going on outside of our municipality, what's going on outside of the country, outside of other municipalities. How are they dealing with this issue? When new technology comes up, obviously at the beginning, nobody's paying attention. It's too small. It's not causing an issue. As technology matures, as technology gets more prevalent, more people are using it. We need to put some sort of a guardrails around it. We were talking about AI early in the day. You got to put guardrails on all of these things. You just don't give it to anybody and say, here's the keys, you know, go nuts. They literally will go nuts.
But this is what we've done, essentially. No tech required, nothing required. You know, the reason I lean so much into regulation is, one, I think there's the whole, because people will say ban, but Toronto is an example. It doesn't matter that you ban, people are still using it, right? And there's the whole issue of intergenerational fairness. You know, it's no different than saying we're going to ban bicycles or we're going to ban cars. You know, you shouldn't be banning. You have to give people choice, but you have to regulate, and there have to be consequences for not following the rules. The rules have to make sense. The rules have to focus on safety, and if people break the rules, there have to be consequences. That's the way you move. That's your philosophy.
100%. And you know, for the audience, you know, we're not advocating here to copy other cities or other towns, etc. What we're trying to advocate for is what makes sense for the city of Mississauga. I think in this case, that's what council is interested in.
Yeah.
And we use other parts of the conversation when we reference other municipality or jurisdictions around the world as to learn from. But at the end of the day, the councilor is advocating to do what makes sense for the city of Mississauga. I want to make sure that this is clear out there. You know, because something worked for Toronto, not necessarily would work in the city of Mississauga. It's not a given. Considered maybe, but it's not a given. So just want to make sure that people understand that. Now, from a public sentiment council in Ward 7, have you done any consultation? What was the feedback?
The feedback ever since, you know, this motion's been talked about has been overwhelmingly positive. Almost every email that I've received is, thank you, we need to do this. When can we do this, right? So I think it's good to start the conversation. Let's hope the province of Ontario is listening. And I think it would be a big win before the summer if we could start to work on this. And, you know, it can be incremental. You can start with very baby steps. Like right now is the Wild West. Let's do some baby steps, right?
For the next, you know, I'm assuming like different categories of our residents or our citizens here will have different responses to that. I'm assuming seniors probably would be more receptive to this because they don't want to be run over by somebody who's not wearing a helmet, who's not regulated, riding a scooter down the road, etc. Small business owners probably will like regulations because they don't need to see, you know, many people hanging out in illegal parking lots because they have a scooter parked right there. Or parents, maybe if their kid is, you know, using a scooter, using it in a regulated way, they would feel a lot more safer for their kids that he's going to come back home safe, thank God. So,
yeah, agreed.
Have you had those conversations on those levels? And what was the reaction?
You know, one of the things that I did do was I did talk to some of the companies that rent these out. And one of them was very supportive. They're like, yeah, it makes sense. So
the vendors are on board?
Yeah, at least this, I spoke to two, and one of them was, you know, okay. And one was quite supportive, saying, yeah, there's, you know, they do see an advantage to that.
So from your perspective, what's next now for this proposal?
I'm hoping that other cities might consider doing similar motions, like at Mississauga, you know, now that the ship has sailed for now, but maybe other cities.
Because it was rejected, right? Is that what you're saying?
Because, you know, there's some people who want to do, you know, people have different views. Some people don't want any regulation. Some people just want it to, you know, ban. Like, people have different views. But I'm hoping that other municipalities pick up the baton, and if the province just on initiative starts to investigate it. At the very minimum, you need to explore the idea, right? And you explore it, give it an honest shake, and then at the end of it, if you come out and say, hey, we don't want to do it, we'll talk about it then. But I think this whole idea merits a conversation, merits doing some research and taking some action.
Would you try this again with the city of Mississauga at some point?
You know,
take another run at it, basically?
No, but you know what? I think the job has been accomplished, because regardless of whether it passed or didn't pass, the city of Mississauga doesn't have the ability to do anything. What the motion would have succeeded in doing had it passed is we would have sent a letter to the province saying that the city of Mississauga is formally asking, right? So it would have been an advocacy piece.
So it's got to go from the city to the province.
Yeah, it would have been essentially a letter saying this is our position and we'd like you to do it. So it's not binding on the province or anything. So it's really about a chorus of voices. It's about people writing into the premier or whoever, like, create a bit of a movement. There's been some momentum from this. The conversation has started. If we can keep the conversation going, I think, who knows, maybe the province will. And the elections are always a good time. So maybe there's a provincial election in 3 years and maybe some other party wants to pick this up. But at least the conversation has started.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, years ago, I was involved in an initiative called Smart Cities. That's a global initiative. And I'm sure Mississauga is part of that initiative as well. I don't know, hopefully Mississauga will win 1 year. I remember 1 year Stockholm and Sweden won, and that was a big thing. And so I was wondering, how is there a fit here between the e-scooters and e-bikes alignment with smart city initiatives? Do you see that? Or
I mean, the smart city has many definitions, and Robin, you would know this more than I, but you know, often smart cities are around networking, online networking.
Connectivity, correct.
availability of Wi-Fi. But if you were to define connectivity more broadly.
Correct. That's what I was going for.
E-scooters and e-bikes definitely become, it really is about convenience. Like, think about the convenience of this kid jumping out of his dad's car or mom's car, the e-scooter in the back. So you get a ride to a point and then you can get to wherever you need to get to, right? Like, it's just that whole convenience piece.
Look, I hope the province listens to you. I hope it doesn't take a tragedy to get to where we want to go. And I'm praying not. Because sometimes these things happen after the fact, which too late. You know, a lost life is a lost life is a lost life. Like, we don't want to go there.
No.
And I hope whatever you're doing, somebody's listening to you, because I feel this is really well needed. If any regulation out there that is needed, there's many of them that we can put on the block and discuss if they're needed or not.
Yeah.
This is needed. Because I've seen a lot of crazy stuff over the last summer, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot more this summer, because it's the wild, wild west, as you said.
And I'm going to say this to the young people. I am in your corner. Like, I understand the intergenerational fairness involved here. Not all of you want to be in cars. Not all of you can afford to be in a car, but you want to live in Mississauga. This is a great hack. I want to support you guys. I just want to make sure it's safe for you and the people around you.
100%.
I don't personally use it, I'll be honest. But I understand that the young are using it, and we need to make sure we make space for them, safe spaces.
You know what? This is a great conversation we had today. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners, Counselor, before we leave?
No, we're good. Just, can't wait for spring. Wishing everybody a speedy spring.
We hope the snow melts pretty quickly. Here we have enough snow to last a while. We were in Niagara over the weekend, my wife and I. Wow, this thing is frozen solid almost. So I've never seen snow and ice that much in one place. If the listeners would like to check it out, I'm not sure if it's still around, but it was awesome to see it a couple of weeks ago. So for our listeners, I want to thank you so much for listening. For our guest speaker, thank you so much for joining me, Councilor Deepika Damirla. Hopefully you come back and share some ideas with us. We'd love to have you with me.
Yeah, I have.
And have more conversations. Thank you so much, everybody, and I'll see you at the next episode.